Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. Our preacher today is Reverend Ian Gardner and he's got a message that he's entitled New Wine, Anyone? As we hear the story from John's Gospel at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus is at a wedding where the wine runs out and where he then miraculously turns water into wine, revealing God's glory. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And will you join me now in our call to worship, which is written by Reverend Elsa Peters, and your parts are on the screen in white. We come to see glory revealed. We want to see miracles happen. It is a time for miracles. It's a time of new understanding when God's steadfast love becomes manifest. Oh, may God's love become manifest in us. May glory be revealed today. So let's sing of that glory as we sing Charles Wesley's well-known hymn, number 134, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies. Let us come before God in prayer. Creator God, abundant giver, at a wedding in Cana, you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. We come to you, ready for you to turn our ordinariness into something extraordinary for you today. We praise you for all the miracles you perform, and pray that we may recognize them as such. We confess that sometimes it's not until we get to the end of our own resources, until we let ourselves run empty, that we turn to you, where we see only what ourselves and others lack. Forgive us and surprise us with your generous abundance. Into our emptiness, pour your grace. Fill us to overflowing with intoxicating love. May we know that you forgive us and transform us, just as you did to the water at the wedding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's love is continually poured out for us. Drink from the cup of forgiveness and compassion, for in Jesus' name we are forgiven. Amen. Our scripture today is being read for us by Colin Westren, and Colin is one of our local preachers and a leader at Museum Street Methodist Church.
The Gospel reading. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. So ends our reading. Thanks be to God.
Hello, and welcome wherever you are. The story of the wedding at Cana, which we've just heard read for us, is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, but also one of the most misinterpreted. I've been told of many interpretations by preachers ranging from people began to get sad, but Jesus didn't want that. He wanted a celebration. So, voila, Jesus turned water into wine, and the party continued. After all, claimed the preacher, Jesus loves a good party. Or someone else said, Jesus overcame his initial hesitation to do the right thing. Think of it, the bride and groom must have been terribly embarrassed. The party had got out of hand, and they ran out of the fine Chablis. It must have been awful for them. But Jesus was there to save the day. He produced some wine and everybody escaped what would have been a catering disaster. Well, they're interesting views of the wedding, but I don't believe that's what our text actually tells us. It would be great to think that the Lord intends to bless our human celebrations. But there's no hint at Cana that Jesus is what we would term a party animal. If anything, he comes across as a rather stern figure who was annoyed to be called away from his table. And the Jesus portrayed in this text is not the least bit concerned about saving people from social disasters. He seems unconcerned about etiquette or social niceties. But what can we tell from the text? Well, Jesus is at the party. The party runs out of wine. Nobody from the wedding party appears to tell Jesus that they'd run out, which is probably just as well, because when his mother brings up the matter, essentially he just brushes her off. She tells him, "They have no wine." Jesus replies, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me?" She looks at him with maternal pressure. You know, the way mums do that. But Jesus brushes off his mother's request, saying, "It's not my hour. It's not my time." So she backs off from her request. But then he turns that water into wine. So what's going on? Is this a story about a wedding? Well, I think it's more about the wedding guest, Jesus Christ. I think there are three clues to help us to understand the story. The first is this. Jesus uses that village feast as an opportunity not to make people happy, but as an opportunity to reveal God to them. The writer says this was the first time Jesus revealed God's glory. Curiously, some people missed that entirely. Jesus stood before them with the power to turn water into wine. Those who were there, many of them, could only comment on the quality of the wine. Jesus has revealed the glory of God, not in high, lofty church places, but in the middle of a wedding celebration, i.e. not even in the sanctuary, but in the wedding feast that followed. Jesus drew near amongst what may well have been very loud music and the droning of relatives as they discussed the matters that had happened since they'd last seen them. But the glory of God is revealed in a very common human occasion. So where do we find God's glory? Well, it's in a specific human person. Jesus of Nazareth. The eternal word becomes flesh. Knowing this makes people more than happy. It satisfies their deepest longings of the human heart. And that brings us to our second clue. If the human Jesus is to reveal the everlasting God, some established customs must be broken. At Cana, Jesus used 6 large stone jars as carafes for new wine. Those jars were normally filled with water for purification ceremonies, for washing. Jesus claimed the authority to break the rules and put those jars to another use. For those who knew what he was doing, it may well have been disturbing, to say the least. How would we react if a baptismal party, after the service, used the baptismal font as a drinks bowl? But effectively, that's what Jesus did to disclose the presence and the power of God. God's glory would not be reduced to traditions and rituals. Jesus Christ is not interested in maintaining stale religious customs and established patterns. He's concerned with bringing us into the presence of the eternal God. And it can happen anywhere, at any time. With Jesus around every day is the day when we can see miracles. Significant transformations that happen in your life or mine. They are no less far-reaching as what happened that day at that wedding feast. When such a moment happens, the actual event is significant. But it's nowhere as important as what happens to us in the midst of the event, with Christ's holy presence with us. That can mean we have to let go of the old patterns, the familiar ways, the comfortable habits. And we know that's not easy. The work of Jesus Christ in our lives is always about making something new, establishing new relationships, making a new start. But those changes can be disruptive. They demand all the strength and courage we can find. But if we're able to embrace what God is doing, we may find that some of the best wine has been saved until now. And that leads us to our final point. Namely, when new life comes, when the new wine is poured, it is the gift of Jesus Christ. He alone chooses to give the new wine. No one can force him to give it. Not even his own mother. No one can tell him what to do. And when Jesus does choose to act, he does so entirely from his own initiative. Intentionally and deliberately. For he is the Lord. He comes to show us what God is like. I'd like you to think about a couple of things, not necessarily now immediately, but during the week to come. Where do we see God doing extraordinary things in our everyday, ordinary lives? And secondly, is there something in your life that needs to change? And if so, who can help you with that? There is a link at the end of this service to the Methodistic website where you can ask for contact from people who will help you. I can certainly help you, and I'm sure Joan will help as well. But if you need help, please do ask, because God maybe is wanting us to change. On the third day, Jesus turned water into wine. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And if every day is the third day, there's no telling what the risen Christ might do among you and me, among us, as he comes in the wild, unpredictable grace of God. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you, Ian, for your message about the wedding at Cana and for the clues that you found in the scripture that indicate that this was really a story about who Jesus is. So let's continue now in song as we recognise that Jesus is Lord. He is King, he is love, he is life. Number 348.
He is Lord, he is shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King, He is King. He will draw nations to Him, He is King. And the time shall be when the world shall sing that Jesus Christ is King. He is love, He is love. He has shown us by His life that He is love. All His people sing with one voice of joy that Jesus Christ is love. He is life, He is life. He has died to set us free, and He is life. And He calls us all to live evermore, for Jesus Christ is love. Jesus Christ is life.
Let us pray and bring our concerns now before God, and I'm using a prayer by Bruce Prewer. God of wedding parties and new wine, of love and laughter, dancing and singing, we pause to pray for those among your worldwide family who today may be feeling left out in the cold. Bless the many people who must toil for such long hours that there is no time or energy to laugh or sing. Bless your children who feel so demeaned and exploited that they view even angels of mercy with suspicion and fear. Bless the many folk who are caught in vicious circles of evil and can see no way to escape. Bless those among your children whose every waking hour is spent in pain and whose sleep is at the best fitful. Bless those people who are drawn to Christ and new life, yet who fear the scorn of family, friends, or workmates. Bless your children who have once tasted the new wine of Christ, but have now slipped away into indifference or maybe despair. Bless those folk who with much trembling hand their lives over to you this day. May they find faith and courage for the days to come. Bless the people of your church that abundant love may flow in our prayers and our prayers flow into generous words and deeds. And we lift up now in silent prayer those whose names are on our hearts. And this week we especially lift up those who are affected by the fast spreading Omicron virus or version of the COVID virus. We pray for wisdom for the government as they guide us in the way forward. Be with all those who are sick and bring your healing. And be with our overstressed and overworked nurses and doctors. We pray for peace in Kazakhstan and lament that the past 7 years have been the hottest on record in Europe, and ask you to guide us to do our part, each one of us, towards climate action. In the name of the Christ, who makes all things new, we pray as we say together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank everyone who's participated in our service today, for reading the scripture, Colin Westren, for our message from Reverend Ian Gardner, and to Neil and Elizabeth Hepplethwaite and Adrian Pell for our music, and to Adrian for our video editing. On our sermon video, Ian mentioned how to contact any members from the circuit that you might wish to talk to. You can go to the Methodistic website and click on the staff page or the Meet the Team page and find how to reach us, methodistic.org.uk/team. It would be lovely to know that you've been worshipping with us today. So there's a form just above this video where you can type in your name, your location, and push the red button. And that's if you're on the Methodistic site watching this. Next week, Reverend Andrew Sankey is our preacher, and he's got a sermon that he's going to be calling God Sings Over Us. With thankful hearts, I encourage you at this time to offer your time, your talent, and your treasure to God, and to support the work of your local church. Let us pray. At the wedding feast at Cana, you gladdened the guests with divine generosity, filled to the brim and flowing over. We offer our gifts with grateful hearts. Bless them and our lives to your service, that they may reveal your glory, nurture faith, and manifest the common good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we think about Ian's challenge to live each day as the third day, the day of resurrection, let's sing number 252. Jesus the Lord said, I am the life, the resurrection, and the life am I. And I am the bread, the vine, the way, and the light.
Jesus the Lord said, I am the bread of life for the world am I. The bread of life for the world am I. The bread of life for the world am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the bread of life for the world am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the vine, the true and fruitful vine am I. The true and fruitful vine am I. The true and fruitful vine am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the vine, the true and fruitful vine am I. Jesus
Jesus the Lord said, I am the way, the true and living way am I. The true and living way am I. The true and living way am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the way, the true and living way am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the light, the one true light of the world am I. The one true light of the world am I. The one true light of the world am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the light, the one true light of the world am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the life, the resurrection and the life am I. The resurrection and the life am I. The resurrection and the life am I. Jesus the Lord said, I am the life, the resurrection and the life am I.
Go from here, trusting that Jesus is making all things new and turning our ordinariness into extraordinariness. May God, the Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, be with all of you and each one whom you meet, now and evermore. And all God's people said, Amen.